Welcome to the Food Intelligence Podcast, where we explore the latest trends and insights shaping the future of food and beverage. I'm your host, Lee Brimer, from the TasteWise marketing team. In today's episode, we're joined by plant-based marketing guru, Shingli Li, to discuss marketing strategies to help brands stand out from the crowded plant-based pack, and hear how her experience working at mega brands like Kraft Heinz and Danone helped her bring Alpha Foods brand presence all the way to the silver screens of Hollywood. So get ready for a fun chat chock full of marketing advice for emerging brands and all those interested in the future of plant-based. Happy listening. Please give a warm welcome to our guest, Shingli Li, a marketing maven who's been shaking things up in the world of plant-based for over half a decade. From managing the number one plant-based protein brand in North America to leading award-winning campaigns and driving innovation at Alpha Foods, Shingli's got both the cred and the passion to light a fire under anyone's plant-curious palates. Now, Shingli's not just a marketing whiz. She's also a strategic thinker, team builder, a mentor for challenger CPG brands, and a champion for creating delicious and sustainable food options for everyone. So get ready to dive into the fascinating world of plant-based food with the amazing Shingli Li. Welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful introduction. Super pleased to be here, Lee.
Fantastic. I want to first take a minute and go through a little bit of an introduction from your perspective and hear a little bit about yourself, but specifically, what got you excited and interested in food and beverage? And then also that transition from the earlier career, which was not plant-based, into the plant-based sphere.
Yeah, for sure. I have been a foodie for as long as I could remember. I got my education from Queen's University in Toronto, Kingston, Canada. And I started my career and had an opportunity to start with Kraft Heinz, which is one of the biggest food and bev manufacturers in Canada and the world. I had roles in marketing and sales, and I really owe kind of the discipline that I have as a marketer to my time building my foundations at this multinational. I think in terms of why food and bev and marketing in general, I think as a marketer, I quickly learned that you get a 360 view of both the brand and the business. It really challenges you to critically and strategically think and find ways to really win in a very crowded, fast-moving marketplace. That combination of left brain and right brain thinking is what kept me where I can continuously solve problems every day. So not only do I get to combine my passion for food, it also challenges me. And that's why I stayed in CPG food marketing my whole career. From Kraft Heinz, I rotated to Danone in the nutrition and supplement space. From there, you know, I found that there was an introspective moment in my career where I thought about the role of food in our lives. To me, the role of food is to nourish our bodies. And I saw that I really wanted to join a brand that was driven against that purpose. And I had the opportunity to lead Vega, which really is I was training for a marathon at the time and I couldn't find a protein solution that I was able to digest. And Vega was the only one that I had gone to. And so the ability to be able to work on that brand was both a personal alignment and a category alignment for me. From there, I really wanted to get back to food at the end. So I had joined Alpha Foods, which is a frozen, convenient, plant-based startup at the time. And I had the opportunity to grow that brand fairly pretty much from scratch to a brand most recently acquired last quarter by the Live Kindly Collective. They're a global consortium that aims to make plant-based living a new norm. They're shifting and have a great mission to build a sustainable future and really change the food system at its core. So as I mentioned, I would absolutely say the discipline I have as a marketer, I owe to my time with, you know, the multinationals because of the pressure and the learning. But now I have the opportunity to take those learnings and build brands from the ground up, which has been really challenging and fun.
Yeah, I love that progression and kind of how you shared what you learned from the beginning and kind of how it brought you to today. Something that jumped out to me that I relate to as a marketer in food and beverage is that understanding of the brand and the focus on who we are, what are our passions, what are our purpose, what's our mission, but also the business side, right? I would love to spend my days, you know, making podcasts and webinars, but ultimately, how does it tie into the business goals of the company and how we grow and, like you said, help nourish the world, right? So it's relatable, I'm sure, to a lot of people listening too. And also more and more, we can talk about this a little bit later, but we're seeing the explosion of plant-based, you know, almost close to about 6-7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer for some companies, and the marketplace is really crowded. So we'll talk about it a little bit later in terms of how to stand out and really define yourself. But firstly, also congratulations on the Live Kindly Collective acquirement. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
I want to hear a little bit from your perspective. What are some of the biggest trends that you're hearing about driving growth in the plant-based food market?
For sure. I think plant-based is very similar to kind of the beginning of the tech sector. We had a big, massive boom, and we're seeing some consolidation at the marketplace. And it's kind of what you'll see, I think, is a continued need for consumers to look for different options at every eating occasion. And they're looking for different innovative brands who are going to meet them where they're at, but also working to give them options that drive and align with why they are coming into the category in the first place. So we see consumers come in for whether it be a health reason or a sustainability reason or an animal welfare reason, but really brands that are delivering delicious, craveable options at every day part that align with why they're trialing. I think there's overall kind of three trends that I'm seeing. The first is there's still a little bit of ways to go when it comes to advancement in innovation to get plant-based, particularly meat alternatives, but overall alternatives to taste, mimic kind of the taste and texture of animal-based foods. Mm-hmm. The second is the ingredients that are being used. Overall, there's a real need for the consumer to understand what they're putting in the body. And so there's an opportunity for brands to really hone in on clean label options and promoting more vegetable forward plant-based foods. And the lastly, I think overall in food and bev, consumers are looking to explore global flavors, right? So I think they're looking for brands to be more bold, not bland in their flavor profiles, but also hit that consumer texture with more taste without the sodium content.
Yeah, very relatable. I love that sentence, be more bold, not bland. I think that especially some of our adventurous eaters can relate to that. I want to tell a little anecdote ourselves that we are first and foremost, a consumer data platform. So we love understanding consumers and the why behind their actions. And we were at a conference called Future Food Tech in San Francisco, which is also a hub of tech, a hub of innovation, a lot of food tech coming out of there. And this conference was focused on plant-based. And we had a quiz there for fun. We gave away, I think it was like AirPods or something like that. So people had to log in and fill out the quiz live as it was happening based on the trends. And one of the questions that I think it was one of the first questions was, what is the main reason why consumers are turning to plant-based? And it was sustainability was an option. Animal welfare was an option. Health was an option. And I think there was one more. And the answer, of course, is health is the main reason why people are turning to plant-based. And believe it or not, this was a room full of startups, major companies, players in food and beverage who focus their entire campaigns and lives on plant-based. And only 20% of the people got it correct. So essentially, when it comes to what not just the passion and what you crave as an individual, but it's so important when it comes to understanding a trend, to really understand the why behind a trend. Because if you make something that is incredibly tasty with texture, which of course are those driving concerns always, but it's unhealthy, you're losing consumers from the beginning. So it's interesting to hear you comment on that, and also just to tie it into that clean label and that kind of plant forward ingredients as well.
For sure. For sure. I think that's a pretty shocking stat that I didn't expect to see or hear about.
I know we were, I was there when watching it happen, and it was actually a light bulb moment that so much of the innovation that happens in our industry is still based on a lot of our feeling or about data that's not quite keeping up to as fast as the consumers are changing. And with any innovation or with any project or even a marketing spend, which we know sometimes are a little bit more open sky innovation and kind of a more inspirational and visionary, that you need to have that correct data input from the beginning to make sure you're taking that first step in the right direction.
Absolutely. It all starts with the consumer and the insight behind it.
That's it. So I'm curious. I want to get back to what we talked about earlier about the crowded marketplace. And essentially, we need to create products that are both appealing to our customers, but also accessible too. So I want to ask you, how can brands like Alpha, as part of the Live Kindly Collective, effectively balance that innovation with the need for mainstream appeal and accessibility?
That's a really good question. I think if we take a step back, the plant-based space still has so much potential growth. In the US, it's hit about 17 points of household penetration and a 62% repeat rate, which means that consumers are coming back. But that's only the meat alternative market that's currently around kind of $1.4 billion in terms of market size. When we look at the potential of where, for example, milk alternatives are, they've got about 40 points of household penetration. So if we're able to increase the market size of meat alts, that's another $3 billion in the US marketplace right there. Now, that's where the role of innovation comes in, because the large majority of the category right now, while there has been a little bit of dispersion, it centers around varietals of burgers and nuggets and patties. I think the plant-based meat category really needs to diversify and be in line, to your point, Lee, with consumers' interests and grow the amount of varietals of options that are available in food. And I think that's something that, like with my CPG background, that's what you learn very early on. Like, you're in the trenches, it's very aggressive brand share wars. In some of these multinationals like Kraft Heinz and Danone, if you're not managing that share pop appropriately, your brand loses share, the business craters. So as a result, you learn a very disciplined approach to make sure that your brand is really well positioned, that you have the right innovation at the right cadence and pace, supported with the right level of awareness and trial, and the right price with the right product. That's a lot of rights, but it's really, it boils down to like what we call the three P's: awareness and trial. Your positioning, your price, your product, and then building awareness and trial. And I was very fortunate to work on several brands actually that had a lot of difficulty in one way or another in this mix. And I followed a path, you know, to solve these brand problems using the good amount of consumer research, understanding the insight behind the data, the why behind the data, and then just a mix of intuition, judgment, and good marketing sense, and mix it all together. I think it's a very similar playbook as it comes to balancing innovation in this stage where we're at in terms of the plant-based market, and really combining the basics of business management and brand management to understand, you know, the art and science behind what will drive that incremental growth in the category and get us to the $3 extra billion in the US marketplace.
Yeah, it's some great stats there. I think that there is so much room for growth. And I actually wanted to jump to another question because you really kind of inspired me. And it's essentially, I want to hear and share with some of our listeners here some tips from you. So in your experience, what marketing strategies would you say are really effective for reaching those new audiences and convincing them to try, let's say, a plant-based option? Because like you said, there's so much of the market is still addressable and has not yet really come into the picture. So how do we reach those people who haven't quite tried plant-based yet?
Yeah, for sure. I think at the end of the day, no matter plant-based or not, every brand, it all starts with positioning. Every brand has to know how to describe itself in a way that motivates your consumer in order to deliver a message that resonates with them, right? And that's how you stake out a space in a marketplace where you can win. I'm a big believer that brands really have four options in terms of reaching new effective audiences: showing that you're better, showing you're different, showing you're cheaper, or you're not around for very long, frankly. So I think that winning brand position that matches with what your consumers want and what your brand does best, showing that you're better and how you're better than your competitors, is the winning strategy to reach new audiences. Behind that is understanding what resonates with them and digging into that personalized data in order to target advertising to them.
Yeah, it's some of the things you said there are not only great advice for everyone here, but also that it's sometimes a balance between those as well, right? Like being better, amazing. And like, that's where you have to focus because you need to be able to win.
Exactly.
You need to prove and you need to show and you need to taste better than someone else, or else no matter how you position it, it doesn't necessarily last as long. But sometimes that point of uniqueness, how you're different, you said, can go even a little bit further. So really catch people by surprise, let's say. And that actually brings me to something that was pretty, maybe unique is the right word, a little exciting, different. Of course, the Alpha brand, which was an exciting partnership that you did with the new Chicken Run movie, Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget. So I want to dive into that partnership a little bit, and because it was really innovative. And tell us a little bit about the partnership, kind of how the idea came to be, and how long was that process?
100%. We are thrilled about our partnership with Aardman Productions and the launch of Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. Lots of millennials within our target consumer set watched this movie, Chicken Run 1.
Yes.
It's hard to say, but that launched in the 2000s and it was a box office hit. And now those consumers have grown up and they have children. So it's perfect time to really integrate. It was a perfect alignment between, driving cultural conversations and a partnership that aligns so ethically with our brand. So in terms of the partnership, we're launching a limited edition product, and really that aim to bring together the charm of the Chicken Run franchise and the chicken animations that everyone loves with the massive reach of Netflix. So Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget is aired on Netflix. And from a collaboration standpoint, we just thought it was a perfect match to be part of the cultural conversation, to drive category awareness, to be part of something, so large with aired on Netflix, as any brand within plant-based would be thrilled to be a part of. It also aligns ethically with the brand. In terms of the development process, it took certainly several months, but I think, it made so much sense with the movie being developed and the grim message that they're sending about the meat industry in America, but done in a very fun way. And we thought that we were very pleased to be one of the brands selected for this.
I haven't seen the movie yet myself, but I wanted to know a little bit more. You said you released a limited product. What's that product? Is it released just in the US? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, it's a limited edition chicken nugget product. So the movie is around the process of how chickens are turned in animal farming into chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. So we're coming
out. Not a pretty
out
process.
Well, they made it really fun and kid friendly so that, I think at the end of the day, every consumer has the right to understand how their food, mm-hmm. where their food comes from. And I think Chicken Run just did such a good job at shining a light there without making it a gruesome process. And it's very accessible for children. That said, so that's why we're launching a limited edition plant-based chicken nuggets, so kids and families alike can enjoy it during movie night and understand and watch the movie.
And that's in the US, that's global. Where are you releasing it?
Absolutely. It's a US product. It'll be nationwide in the US. Consumers can find it at their local Safeway, Albertsons, Sprouts, and then all your regional retailers as well.
Amazing. Everyone, look out for those plant-based nuggets and give them a try when you're watching the movie. I want to come back a little bit to something we talked about further, because I think it will resonate with a lot of people. Like we talked about, there's still so much room for innovation. But if you go to, let's say, the plant, maybe more so the plant-based milk section of a grocery store, it's very crowded. It's very hard to stand out. So I'm just wondering kind of how you as Alpha, Live Kindly Collective, or any advice you'd give to people about how to really stand out in that crowded plant-based environment.
That's a really great question. I think, again, it starts with really smart positioning. Brands that try to be everything to everyone tend to end up being nothing to nobody. So a brand positioning statement really starts with your target consumer in mind and understanding how your brand will serve them best. So it really focuses on the emotional and functional benefits that your brand will stand for. And this is a rigorous process that all brands under the Live Kindly Collective will work together to deliver against the different audiences in different global regions that we have. But ultimately, what it boils down to is a smart positioning statement should narrow the target to those consumers who are most capable of loving our brand and what our brand does. And a tight consumer target decides, you know, who's in the target, but also who you say no to, who's not in the target. It's really funny because I also consult and share with and meet founders all the time on their challenger brands. And there's this myth, I think, in the marketplace where like the bigger the target, the bigger the brand will be. And then so it kind of scares a lot of marketers and business owners, entrepreneurs to target everyone. Because I think there's this like irrational fear of leaving someone out and not, you know, including everyone into the mix. But I always like to use like, I'm a marathon runner and I like to use shoes like elite running shoes as an example. Running shoes are so targeted in terms of who they want to target. So like you have a different shoe for your 26 mile versus your 13 mile versus your short run days and your workout days. And that's because shoe companies know that a particular audience using that shoe for a particular need needs a product that ruthlessly delivers against that. And so especially as a plant-based brand where our resources are more limited versus these huge global conglomerate food and bev brands, you can't be spreading your brand's limited resources across an entire population. That's ultimately just cost prohibitive. So I think, you know, targeting everyone just in case might feel like the safest option. It actually ends up being riskier. And so that's a rigorous process that Alpha and the Live Kindly does to ensure that that's how we break through and punch above our weight class in a very, to your point, increasingly crowded plant-based marketplace.
I'm going to quote you on trying to be everything for everyone turns out making you more of nothing for nobody. I already misquoted it, but I'm going to quote you on that because I think that that's a fantastic example. And maybe releasing one product that's bang on for your consumer, your category, your niche, and growing from there, making another product that speaks to something else, right? Give you that room to grow.
100%.
Now, I know you mentioned it already, kind of being a mentor for challenger CPG brands. And I'm just wondering for any of the startups listening out there looking to disrupt the food and beverage industry, what kind of key advice would you give?
I think it really is optimizing your positioning with enough research. The reality is, time and time again, I've seen with emerging brands that you're launching a natural and it's very hard and it's very expensive. Even in today's omnichannel retail environment, launching in D2C, once you factor in your meta ads, also a very expensive game to play. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have so much on their plates and they're learning on the go that coming from a background in CPG brand management, where you really are the general manager of the brand, we help mitigate risks when it comes to not getting that first positioning right. So being your product, you know, at the right price for the right consumer. And we're mitigating the risk of, you know, down the road, changing your packaging, changing your formulas. You know, I think when you learn to launch products in CPG marketing, where I've spent the majority of my career, you learn how to mitigate and not make these mistakes early before your launch, pre-launch, so that in your, when you're in the marketplace, it doesn't mean, you know, you launch and you let it run, but you're doing like rapid iterations, but you're not re-engineering from scratch. Right. So I think when it comes to emerging brands, you want to pivot your positioning, pivot your products early in the process. And when you're doing it in the market, it becomes a very expensive game. So I think really it comes down to, again, brands having four choices on, you know, knowing how to describe itself to motivate consumers and stake out that space and being different, better, or cheaper. Otherwise,
or losing,
or you're not around for very long, right? Because it's a very competitive marketplace, and especially within CPG.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's really interesting to hear you say that, that research, that iteration is the foundation, because I agree with you 100%. And I think that a lot of times the traditional research process is both also kind of expensive, and sometimes for startups especially, it's not super specific to what you want to do. So that's really where Tastewise comes in the sense of more customized research, DIY, not having one phase of research, but having a touch point with your consumers on an ongoing basis. So you can renovate, you can innovate faster. Then you don't necessarily stick to an idea before you go to market that doesn't really kind of line up. So I know that there's been a lot of innovation and tools around AI. And I'm just wondering for you, both personally and professionally, like, what has been your experience kind of experimenting with some of these AI tools, and how do you see it kind of impacting some of your work and the food industry?
Yeah, for sure. I think, as I've mentioned several times, you know, I think positioning is more important than marketing spend. And so I've seen time and time again, successful innovations in the marketplace innovate with one or two variables. I think my favorite example is Greek yogurt and how you've seen that explode in the American diet, or just North American global diet, actually, at this point. But Greek yogurt takes a very familiar concept of yogurt, which has been around for centuries, and add one variable of protein being like a global mega trend. So I think with AI, you know, being able to identify what that one or two variables, the new variables are within the marketplace, really will help brands hone in on successful innovations. Because in CPG, it's innovate or die, right? But the reality is most innovations, 80 or 90% of innovations fail. So that's the dynamic we're in. So I think AI can really do a good job in grounding ourselves with something that consumers are, you know, familiar with, and then understanding what that something else is to change. The second opportunity I see is your packaging, right? Beyond your product, if your product is sold off a shelf at a retailer, then your packaging becomes your most immediate and important medium as it pertains to your advertising. I always tell my team and any marketer who ever works with me, 100% of your consumers will see your packaging, while a very much smaller percentage of your consumers will see your ads. And so I think with AI, that helps us iterate and understand, you know, what messaging is going to align with the marketplace and the consumers, and what needs to change in terms of our packaging and what the messaging is supposed to tell.
Yeah, I think You nailed it, especially with the packaging to continue on that. It's that speed and that scale too of innovation. You don't have to go to the, in-house design team if you have them, or creative agency and give them the brief and wait for the return and all that. You can generate hundreds of images in an hour that play around with different packaging, with different claims, with different research. So it gives you that ability to just exponentially grow that innovation and that ideation pipeline, where then you can apply that experience, that human element, and kind of make those right choices for your brand, your positioning, and what you're looking to achieve.
For sure. I think with AI, there's so much iteration you could do. Like if you're trying to convince a consumer you're worth double the price of your competitors, then help me understand a packaging element of make me feel that it's worth it, right? If you're trying to be more plant friendly, world friendly, then what's a packaging material that could reflect that? And I think with AI, you can do so much iteration quickly at scale that it eliminates the often costly process in a very traditional marketing environment.
And the other opportunity we see too is in terms of that customized marketing. You talk about that positioning being the foundation, which I couldn't agree with you more. And knowing that audience, who is the intended audience that your product is for? Let's say your audience for plant-based, you're dealing not just with millennials, but you're dealing with moms, you're dealing with, foodies, chefs, flexitarians, whoever it is. You can use AI to help you iterate on your positioning based on insights for that specific demographic at a huge scale, so that anytime someone interacts with, whether it's an advertisement or even just your brand, it's customized. It's the same product, same purpose, but it's customized in a way that's for them. So that personalized marketing is definitely an opportunity that Tastewise has identified as that way to scale, to customize, personalize, stand out with that low cost.
100%. I think it's all about risk subsidization when you're managing a brand. And so really honing in on who that buyer is, who's the net new buyer, who's the look-alike buyer. It sounds like Tastewise is a solution for that and being able to help us understand that really quickly and at scale.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We're working with some of your previous companies too. Kraft Heinz is a client of ours too. We're working with some others in the dairy and, of course, the plant-based space as well. So I just want to say it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been great to hear your feedback, your advice for a lot of our listeners, is whether you're in the plant-based space or not, marketing is a fundamental element of what's going to take your brand, your product to the next level. And you've driven home in such an effective way that power of the positioning, which I think maybe you should look into to trademarking. But I wanted to ask you, just in any kind of last words, or if you'd like to leave our listeners with any advice about the industry, plant-based, what the future looks like, we'd be happy to hear them.
I think we've talked a ton about the power of positioning. I love that term.
Love it.
But really, I think that's the takeaway, right? Like the winning brand position matches what a consumer wants and what your brand does best, always better or different or cheaper than your competitors. So that would be my key takeaway out of today if you had to just scroll to the end and think and capture one thing. But I really appreciate our time together today and thank you for all the questions and the time.
Of course. Okay, one last question is, what is your favorite Alpha Foods product and one that the listeners have to try?
Definitely our plant-based nuggets, the ones that are going into the Chicken Run partnership. Those are phenomenal. And we did a blind tasting versus all the other chicken nugget leaders and it won. So I'm very excited to see how it'll do in the marketplace.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Xingli Li, for your fantastic insights. And it was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Have a great day, Lee.
You too.